Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Talk about movies. One Indescribable Podcast. They'll share their points of view. And in this one, they will talk about Mean Girls, the movie, but the recent musical, and not the original, although both versions have faith. Meadows Lohan, the Lohan's role is small now. Come to your favorite podcast, where we bring all of our hot takes for you.
Yes, that is right. We are here. We are back at One Indescribable Podcast, where we're talking through all kinds of musical TV shows, musical movies, movies that are musicals, musical, just everything. Music all over the place. We're talking about everything. And today we have a real treat for you because, of course, we are here today to talk about Mean Girls, the musical, which is the movie musical, I guess is how we're going to say it. Not the movie. Not the musical on Broadway, although kind of an adaptation of it. The movie musical that was just recently released, currently available to you on Paramount Plus. I'm Adam H. here with you week after week, talking through all kinds of musical stuff, all kinds of shenanigans. And here with me, two of my very, very good friends. First and foremost, someone who loves to wear pink on Wednesdays and every other day, Lindy TV. Lindy, how are you?
I'm great. I do love to wear pink. On Wednesdays, we wear pink, but it's not Wednesday. But I do have a saying for us, and that's on Mondays, we record One Indescribable Podcast.
Oh, it's true. It's very, very true. We have recorded every Monday for the past, like, 3 years. We are, you know, like clockwork, we are recording here. And of course, Lindy, it's not just you and I. We have the Apex podcaster himself. It's Todd. Todd Lightbrain, how are you?
I'm doing good. I have a new Twitter handle. I'm at Cool Todd with six O's. So. Okay. Hashtag aging badly. So,
Oh no, Todd. Oh no, that's really, gosh. Also, she's just like following me around everywhere I go. So it's just like everywhere I go, Busy Phillips is just like, hey, what's going on? And I swear, before like I saw her for basically the first time on late Dawson's Creek, I didn't even know who she was. And now she's in like six different things that I've seen in the past like year and a half. So, anyway, we're here to talk about Mean Girls, the newly released movie musical. Again, like I said, currently available on Paramount Plus. And I want to just first and foremost, before we even get into the history of Mean Girls and the show and the movie and our history with it, before any of that, I just want to address the elephant in the room. Okay, we were all thinking it. Everyone was thinking it. This was long. This was a long movie. Okay, we have to be honest with ourselves. It was a long movie. It was like an hour and 52 minutes, plus or minus some credits or whatever, probably at the end. I don't know. This was very, very long. I really did enjoy it. I had a really fun time. I thought it was great. The music was fantastic. The casting was really, really good. But Lindy, this was a long movie.
So it was long. I will always say that. However, it didn't feel longer to me than any other movie. Mm. It felt similar to all the other movies we watched.
Similarly, we called them long. Unbearably long. Okay.
So it wasn't any different. But it wasn't any worse, but it wasn't any better in terms of length. So there you go.
Okay.
We're just not movie people, of course.
I'd say the everyone has to agree. I don't think everyone does, Adam. I don't think everyone's going to agree. It's like that's not even a full 2 hours long. It's a long movie.
What do you mean full 2 hours? Why is that the full mark? Can we have a full 1 hour?
Even a full 2 hour movie to me is not a long movie. I have watched movies that are much, much longer than that.
Wait, much? Like
much longer.
Too much is longer than 2 hours?
Yeah, I think it's things that are like close to 5 hours long.
So. 5 hours?
Yes. That is too long. That is a too long movie. 2 hours is nothing.
I will make a pledge right now. We will never cover a 5 hour movie on this
Absolutely
podcast.
Not.
Unless we'll I'm watching never. The first hour, Lindy's watching the second hour, and Todd can watch the other three. That's the only way.
That's even a good plan.
Might be too long.
The hilarious part is I think Adam and I both would watch 5 straight hours of television.
But we
refuse to watch a 5 hour movie.
I can't lie. I watch 5 straight hours of television all the time. Maybe not like all the time, but more frequently than I would ever watch a 1.5 hour to 1 hour, 2 minute movie. Like it's not, I mean, I don't know. The logical little breaks in there are so important. But that being said, Let's get to Mean Girls here, because I know that this movie musical was not without a, you know, controversy is probably the wrong word, but I don't know how well this was received, to be honest with you. I have certainly seen the full range of responses, and some of that can vary by if you have experience with this, if you, I don't know, if you didn't know that it was going to be a musical before you walked into the theater. I had a friend who was in that boat who was like, oh, Mean Girls, that's going to be so exciting. Walked in. Why are they singing? All those different kinds of things. But Todd, I would love for you to just kind of go through some of the history of Mean Girls, sort of what you know about maybe this production, and then of course the Broadway adaptation as well.
Yeah, so this was Mean Girls, the musical, which, again, I just have to stress that the advertisements for this, not a single trailer that was released for this film, made note of the fact that it was a musical.
Yeah.
Nowhere was there a trailer that's like, oh, by the way, this is a musical. There is like a you can see like a note in like the A. It's like, you know, but that's about it. Like if you weren't paying attention to the actual logo, there'd be no hint of there being music in this whatsoever. So the fact that people went in and were surprised, it's not surprising to me. And this is a weird trend. It happened with Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber Fleet Street, the Tim Burton Johnny Depp movie. None of the ads for that showed it was a trailer. The recent Color Purple musical that was released, none of the ads showed it was a musical. They just don't show that musicals are musicals. And I don't understand it because A, you're not going to bring in people who want to go see musicals. And B, people who don't want to see a musical are just going to be upset because they were tricked into seeing a musical and they're not going to give it a chance. So I hate that trend. I wish that the advertisers would stop doing that, but here we are. So, Mean Girls 2024, it was released early this year. I actually went to see it in the theater at a movie party at Alamo Drafthouse, which means I got to sing along with all the songs. Unfortunately, no one else in the theater was singing along with me, but I was definitely singing along because I knew the stuff. So, I had hoped there'd be other people singing, but nope, just me. But yeah, this was based off of a 2017 stage musical, which in turn was based on the 2004 film, which was loosely inspired by a 2002 self-help book called Queen Bees and Wannabes. So there's been like quite a journey for this to get to where we are now. But the 2004 film was like very popular. It's become even more so. I don't know if it was that popular when it first came out, but I think it's become like a real cult hit over the years. There's lots of memes that have been built off this. You Go Glen Coco is like a big one, of course, like the October 3rd of it all. The Limit Does Not Exist. I see that gif a lot. I use that gif a lot. There's lots of like little moments from the original film that had become memes over the years. And it's kind of gained this like cult status. Originally, the film was supposed to be released like on, like the idea was like on the anniversary of the film. It's like still like, it's like 20 years later that it came out from the original film. So it's like the 20 year anniversary is whenever the movie came out. The stage musical was also supposed to go on the anniversary, I believe, but it kind of got pushed back. Anyway, the stage musical was like pretty well received for the most part. The film movie musical version, not so much. And I think part of the issue is when you go to see a stage musical based on a movie, you're expecting it to be just like kind of a, oh, they're going to like make references to the movie that I love. And so the fact that they make a big joke about some things that happened in the original movie, but don't necessarily give context to it, it's fine. This is a stage musical based on a movie that you love. Then you go see the musical movie based on the stage musical of a movie that you loved, and it leaves off out a lot of the stuff that was in the original movie and is now kind of like powdered, you know, or watered it down a little bit. And so now it's making jokes. There are only jokes because they're referencing things in the original movie. It loses something in translation along the way to a certain degree. So I think that's like one of the things that people have issues with. I know I also heard some people who compared the musical performances this to musical performances on the original Broadway soundtrack and sometimes found it wanting. Mm. I think the performances are pretty good, but there are a few things where I'm like, oh, I kind of like the way it sounded in the original soundtrack more than here. There's also lots of changes between the movie soundtrack and the original stage production soundtrack, which is not surprising. They're not going to fit in all the songs. They left out like one of the big introductory songs. So the very first song of the musical, not the first song, the first song that Katie sings when she's in Kenya and finds out she's coming back, that's a completely different song than the song that she sings. And they wrote a whole new song to take the place of it. So they wrote What If instead of It Roars. And I'll say, I don't know if it's a huge improvement, but it wasn't necessarily worse. So It's kind of like, you know, a zero-sum game there. But they got rid of a few songs, notably a couple of Damien songs. He does a song called Where Do You Belong? It's all about the cliques in school. He does a song called Stop whenever Katie is obsessively texting Aaron. But they're both very Broadway-sounding songs. They're both very, where do you belong? Where do you belong? Type things. And so I'm not surprised to cut the two more like show-tune-y-sounding songs from the film. There are a couple of other songs. There's like this It's My House Now song that is like more than fine to cut. But there's a couple songs. There's a song called Fearless, a song called More's Better, which I really like both of those. And I was really surprised not to get either one of them in the movie. So I think there might be some disappointment from some people about it not, like maybe some of their favorite songs were cut or the songs were changed a little bit. So I think it's a mixture of why the movie wasn't as well received as it could have been.
Yeah, I definitely think the sort of advertising of it all, right? Like, I don't ever think, well, I don't know if you should ever be walking into a movie theater to see a movie in the first place. But if you are, and you don't expect it to be a musical, I really don't think you should be surprised when people start singing. I love musicals. Don't get me wrong. I really do. I love them. I am more likely to go to a theater to see a musical than a non-musical. But, like, it should never surprise you when people start bursting into song. Like, that just shouldn't be a thing that happens. Lindy, I am assuming you didn't know much about the sort of stage adaptation of Mean Girls, but have you seen the original Mean Girls 2004?
Oh, of course I have.
Of course.
I
mean, yeah.
I feel like for people our age, I just feel like we've seen it so many times. I mean, not everyone, of course, but I've seen it a bunch of times. I don't even remember the first time I watched Mean Girls. I just feel like I've always have seen it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm really familiar with it, which isn't the case for a lot of movies for me. I don't watch a lot. So the fact that I've seen this multiple times gives me a lot of familiarity that I don't have for other movies. But yes, I did not know anything really about the musical. So this was a new experience seeing Mean Girls with songs in it. But obviously when I watched it, you know, yesterday on Paramount Plus, I knew full well that it was a musical because we're covering it on the podcast. If I had seen it in theaters, I might not have known that. But of course, since I don't really watch movies, I was never in danger of going to the movies to see it. So,
yeah. And I mean, it's a pretty big danger. You have to watch out there. Sometimes.
You gotta watch out for these surprise musicals.
The surprise musicals, they sneak up on you just out of nowhere. Yeah. So let's kind of get into, we certainly need to go beat by beat or story point by story point here. But I am curious, am I the only one that is hopelessly and desperately in love with Renee Rapp and just think every time that she opens her mouth to sing, it is one of the greatest things that has ever happened on this earth, or just me, or
I think she's great. I don't think I'm hopelessly desperately in love with her like you are.
Well, but yeah, her voice is really mainly the big thing there. In terms of like criticisms of this, I would love for her to have done more. And I say that like knowing that like some of her stuff is my favorite. My favorite of this, like we'll talk about songs in a second, but like World Burn is ridiculous. Like she is ridiculous as she is just like hitting these notes and these riffs as the friggin' hallway is like exploding and on fire around her. Like it's awesome what's going on there. That being said, I feel like she's not given a ton here in terms of singing, and she has probably the best voice of the cast. I don't know, like am I snubbing anyone here, Todd? Like am I overvaluing Renee Rapp here?
I don't know if you're overvaluing her, and also I feel like she gets like more songs than some other people do, so I don't know. I think she's a great singer. I know like a few people, like I know whenever like they first released a clip of one of her songs from the musical on Spotify, like I saw several people who just like felt like she's done dirty by this version compared to like her original version in the original Broadway cast album. So Adam, you definitely need to listen to that. I think if people are feeling that way and you think that she's, you know, her voice and all, so I do think she probably is one of the better singers. I also think she gets the songs that allow her to get that really emotive stuff a lot. I think that that's like really a written into the Regina songs, so
yeah. In terms of other characters, that's so obviously, you know, Renee Rapp, Regina is gonna stand out to me. Lindy, who did you really like in this?
Interesting question. I don't know, like do I like
do you like anyone?
did you like anyone? Yeah.
Did you enjoy like watching any of these characters? I guess better than like.
Well, I enjoy watching all of them. I think most of them are entertaining. I like watching Katie. It makes me cringe at her like mistakes and everything, but that's the story. Regina's entertaining, of course. Gretchen, very entertaining. I think I probably find her very, very enjoyable as a character. Karen doesn't totally do it for me. But I think your mileage may vary with that depending on your sense of humor. So
yeah, the Karen of it all. So I think this version of Karen's feels like much I mean, the version of Karen in the original movie was definitely supposed to be like a dumb character, but I feel like this version is like even more so. I feel like they like really pumped it up. And I think that is very similar to what this version of Karen is like in the stage show. But I think in the stage show, it works a lot better than it does in the film. I think in the stage show, it really worked well. But in the film, at times I feel like, okay, Karen is just like way too dumb here. There's just like something about the performance that just felt a little too much. And I typically like the airheaded characters. I usually find that type of thing funny, and I think she is funny, but I think that it goes a little too far sometimes.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was like her expression of like there's absolutely nothing in my brain. Like, I am just a human with no brain. It was the expression on her face.
Yeah.
Which I know is, like, that's the point, but it was really extreme. And when she's, like, wiping grilled cheese on her face, that was a little much.
I will say that made me laugh. That made me laugh because she actually has something other than, like, vapid nothingness there. She actually has a little bit of, like, joy on her face as she's doing it. But no, I think that it's like her looks are so cartoonish. Like, the expressions are so cartoonish that it doesn't fit with the rest of the film in a way, even though the film is kind of cartoonish. But I think she feels like over the top in a different way than everything else is over the top for me.
And Karen was the one that had the opportunity to sing Sexy, I believe. I don't want to talk about all of the songs too early. I think that's her, right?
Yeah, yeah, the Halloween song.
I liked that song. Obviously, maybe not indicative of the character itself. There was a few little kind of sharp lines in there, but it is one of my favorite songs of the show.
Oh, I like it too.
Yeah, it's so. Definitely one of my, yeah, it's like, Karen is a character not a huge fan of, but that song is like one of my favorites. I was just, basically the sequence, like, she's like, cure some sexy cancer. You're like, no, that's not right, is it? Cure some sex cancer? There's no such thing as sex cancer. I did it! You know, you know. But again, I think the delivery on that in like the soundtrack is better than the delivery of it in the film. Mm. So it kind of felt like that got it. That kind of fell flat for me compared to like the pure excitement and joy and energy that they do it in the soundtrack. So I tried to divorce my things in the original soundtrack from the movies I watched and tried to just accept it. But there's just a couple of things I just couldn't help going, yeah, I liked it better in the original musical.
Well, let's round out the plastics. Any other thoughts on the plastics themselves? Did you guys have plastics in high school where you went to school? Did you have like this group of, you know, maybe not necessarily all girls, but like, did you have a kind of plastics group?
Kind of not really. Again, I went to like a really small school, so it was like really hard to have a that sort of clique. But we did have like the popular kids. There's a group that I think referred to like kind of the sweater brigade, because they just always wore sweaters, you know, and that kind of thing, where they had like kind of not like matching stuff, but just kind of like they all had like the same sort of outfit and they're kind of the popular people. So I had a little bit of that, but in my school, it really wasn't that level of like one person who everyone wanted to be. You know, it wasn't the sort of thing that I really dealt with. I mean, there were definitely the mean girls and things like that, but it wasn't to the same level as what you see in this a lot of media for me.
Yes, I feel like the plastics in this movie, it's just such an extreme example of this. Not that that can't exist, but I feel like I did not witness anything like this. I feel like we've talked about this on the podcast before. I can't remember like what episode or anything, but we've talked about like popular kids. And yeah, there's, you know, the popular kids and other kind of cliques, but nothing so extreme that I witnessed.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely had like the popular kids. I went to like a decently big high school, but like there was certainly like the popular cheerleaders. And then weirdly enough, like show choir also had like a popular group that also like sort of ran the roost a little bit. So we had like a couple different echelons of popular, and you definitely couldn't like easily break into them. But there, you know, what is interesting is like there was never any like one person leader. It was always sort of like they found their popularity power as a group, as like a collective. You know, everyone was sort of like coming together to, you know, popularize each other, whatever, that's not a word, but anyway. So those are the plastics. Okay, any other characters we're going to talk about? We should probably at some point talk about Janice, who probably, in my opinion, has the second best voice in terms of this cast. She definitely is able to belt a few. Fun character. I love basically the you know, not to talk about the story too much of it all, but like the motive of revenge just like right off the rip is like, this is what is driving me as a character. I love that. I love a good revenge plot. This is great stuff. Maybe we don't even go far enough with Regina. I don't know. Could have gone further.
They go pretty far.
I don't know. Like this is like devious and dastardly, and I love it.
That's concerning. That is concerning. Again, the opinions expressed by Adam H. do not necessarily reflect the views of everyone else on One Indescribable Podcast. I like Janice. I think I like Janice more in the original version. I think that there was more to that version than in this a little bit. But I do think Janice is one of the characters that I definitely enjoy in this. And I agree, like, whenever you were asking who has a better voice for Renee Rapp, everyone, like, Janice was, like, the first one I thought of. I was like, well, you know, the whole Raise Your Right Finger, that song, you know, I think is, like, really, really well done by her. Mm. I wish that she got more songs. I think she's the one that I wish got more to sing. I mean, we get, like, I think three songs. I guess she sings Apex. We get a good number of songs from her, but I wanted more.
I really enjoyed Damien in this version. He had two moments that I loved. One of which was when he sings the iCarly theme song in French.
Yeah. Did anybody realize that's what he was doing before?
I did. Yeah, I did, Todd. Let's say tout ça moi. Like, that's leave it all to me.
I was so mad whenever they said it. Like, because I'm like, wait, this sounds familiar. Why do these words sound familiar? What's it? And then they said, I'm like, oh, I should have known that.
I was a big iCarly girly, to be honest with you. I loved iCarly back in the day. And of course, I've like subsequently read Jeanette McCurdy's book and whatever. It's a whole new context of situations. But I loved the show back in the day.
Adam, did you watch the revival?
No, I didn't.
It's so good. You should.
Is it really? It didn't
get canceled. Good.
Is it still going? Or did
I believe it did get canceled.
I think it's canceled now, but it had like three seasons.
Yeah, it left.
Oh my god, they had three seasons. Where can I find this?
Paramount Plus.
On Paramount Plus? Oh my god. Wow. Well, yeah. I definitely have Paramount Plus, so I will have to go watch this.
Yeah, you should.
I have not watched it. I did watch like the Sam and Cat spinoff, but I did not watch the revival.
Cat is Ariana Grande, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, that was another moment that I loved from Damien when the girls are performing the Christmas dance.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, thank you next, which is a reference to Ariana Grande's song, Thank You Next, because the music video had an homage to that in it.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to talk about Ariana Grande's new music that Sarah's been listening to nonstop.
No, I'm talking about Mean Girls, the movie musical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I know. I've not been able to get away from Ariana Grande's new music, during which she belts 0% of the time and instead just like does her little high breathy voice that I don't even really like. No offense to her. She's wildly talented and like way better at basically every single thing than I am as a person. But you have such a good voice. Like, use it. Like, use the I will get down to Dangerous Woman like 10 times out of 10. That song does things to me. But when she's just like high, like breathy voice, it's like, what are we doing here? You know?
Have you watched the music video for Thank You Next?
No, I certainly have not.
You should.
Okay.
I'm just telling. I just tell Adam what to watch.
This feels like maybe not your best recommendation.
Okay,
overall,
the reason
like,
I'm recommending
the list
it,
of things that you've recommended to me, this feels like it's going to be at the bottom.
It
of the
definitely
list.
Is because usually my recommendations are really like amazing, of course. But
you're kind of phoning in a little bit.
No. The reason is because it ties into this movie. You'll get the reference now.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, okay. You know what?
Whatever.
You know what? Let's just take a quick little break. Everyone go watch Thank You Next, the music video. And then we'll be right back to definitely not talk about it because I'm not going to go watch it in this little break. But, you know, you guys go watch it in this little break. Okay, we'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Thank you. Next. Thank you. Next. That's all I really know of the song.
Did you watch the video?
No, I definitely did not. Did you think anyone listening, Jen?
I doubt it.
No.
Yeah.
Because either they've already seen it or they don't care. So.
Yeah. 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 I mean, you know, probably.
Or they're too excited to hear what we're going to say next that they couldn't.
They could be. They couldn't wait. I love Damon. Let's you know, round out our kind of cast of characters here. There's not like a ton more. Do you want to talk about the adults in Oh, please, Lindy, if you have a direction you want to go.
I've got a direction and I'm going. I'm so excited about this.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a French teacher who presumably Damien was singing the extra credit song for her class. Do you all know who this French teacher was?
No.
She was so familiar to me.
Guys, don't look it up. I'll tell you. Guess what? It's Ashley from Girls 5 Eva.
Ah! Oh! Oh my gosh.
Isn't that amazing? Holy smokes, Tina Fey connection.
Wow. So it's really just like this Tina Fey SNL crew just sort of stomps around and just like brings everybody with. Okay. Wow. I did not know that. That's so exciting.
Yeah. Like in the theater, I was like, I know her, but I don't know where I know her from. And then watching it the other day, I'm like, I know her. I don't know where I know her from. And I forgot to look it up. I meant to look it up because she's not in it very much. She's only in like a couple of scenes. But wow. Ashley. See, this is what she did. She faked her death and went to the school to become a teacher. That's where Ashley is.
Well, can I do you one better? As I'm just perusing Google here. Ashley Park, who plays Ashley, that's like the Ashley that we're talking about here, originated the role of Gretchen in the stage musical of Ooh. Mean Girls and is now appearing as the French teacher. So even more of a Mean Girls connection there. We had no idea.
Okay, so she was on Girls 5 Eva because of her Tina Fey connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then probably involved in Mean Girls because of her Mean Girls connection, which I think exactly. That Tina Fey was like loosely connected to Mean Girls back in the... No,
Tina Fey has like been directly connected.
Well, but for was she connected to the musical, though? I, obviously the movie, yeah. But like, was she involved in the musical as well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Pop off Tina Fey. She's all over the place. She's doing all kinds of things.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, she wrote the movie. She wrote the book for the musical. She didn't do like the songs.
She wrote it for the musical. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Good for her. Way to go.
And at the end, it said music by Jeff Richmond, and that's her husband, right? Who also works on Girls 5 Eva.
I believe so.
Yeah. Wow.
What a web of connectedness here.
Very connected, plus the Busy Phillips thing.
Plus the Busy Phillips. Let's talk about the adults. We had quite a cast here. Jenna Fisher made some appearances. Tim Meadows. We obviously talked about Tina Fey, Busy Phillips. It really did seem like we just kind of got all of these like adjacent group of adults together. And we're just like, hey, you guys want to do this other thing that we're all doing together? Yeah. And, you know. Here they are. Did any of them like stand out to you as being, I think that Busy Phillips was probably the highlight for me of like the whole kind of cast of adults. Jenna Fisher was a little bit of a nothing burger in this, which is unfortunate because I really like Jenna Fisher. Tim Meadows was okay, but the principal move in the auditorium or the gym or whatever dealing with the book was like, isn't this like literally your job? Like you're passing this off to your wife as like a, like what's going on here?
Well, so, I love how they got married in the movie. Yeah. They weren't married.
Yeah, this is a wild connection, but I do think Busy Phillips was probably the highlight in terms of the adults for me.
Yeah, I think she definitely got like the best material. Like, you know, like whenever she found the burn book in the closet, and Regina's like, "What were you doing in my closet?" Like, "Oh, I was doing that Japanese organizing thing where you take a nap in the closet." And then her handle being "I'm at Cool Mom with 6 O's # aging hotly." You know, all of that was really funny. I also like John Hamm. John Hamm is the coach.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he had some really funny bits there. So again, another kind of 30 Rock Tina Fey connection there with the John Hamm. So I definitely think that Busy Phillips, out of all the characters, I think Tina Fey had fun with the stuff that she was doing. I feel like she was maybe a little snarkier in this version than she was in the original. I think she was starting, but I feel like it was like there's a little bit felt more world weary in her interactions with the girls.
Well, Todd, she's had 20 more years of teaching since the first movie, and she is over this.
Yeah. Well, I think there's at least one other adult that we need to talk about, the host of the Mathlete competition.
Of course. The one and only Lindsay Lohan. What an appearance.
Oh, I loved it. I had seen that she was in the movie, but I forgot that by the time I watched the movie. So I was really excited.
Yeah, I also like that instead of like, this has never happened before, this has only happened once before.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I love, like, Katie saying, what do I do here? And Liz, I don't know your life.
Which, right. She's like, why don't I know this? I don't know your life. Like, just do the math. Like, so I thought that was great.
Yeah, it was good. The cameos were fantastic. And I feel like with a title like Mean Girls, you're able to sort of get some folks who, you know, you might not be able to, get for some other stuff. So this was very exciting. Let's talk through some of the songs, the highlight songs for us. I've mentioned a few. I don't want to take them all before you've had the opportunity to go through them. So Lindy, what stood out to you song-wise?
Song-wise. So I did like the song. Okay, I didn't look up the titles. I'm really sorry.
That's fine.
The song that Katie sings about, like, smart with math, stupid with love.
Yeah, it's stupid with love.
Yeah.
I liked that one. Like we said, I liked the Halloween song that Karen sings. I thought the styling was really cool for Regina's song in the hallway with, like, the camera twisting upside down and swirling and all the... It was so dark and... That was, I really liked the style of that overall. And then one more that I really liked was Revenge Party. Mm. Thought that was fun. So overall, I enjoyed the songs. I thought it was a fun addition to this.
Yeah. And I'll just imagine if they were all a surprise to you as you walked into the theater.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You know, like 3 years ago, that would have been an unpleasant surprise. But maybe now it would have been a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I don't want to be overly dramatic, Todd, but do we have to, like, find a new person now that we've sort of accomplished our mission with Lindy? Like, this was basically what we were here to do, and we did it. I don't know that we ever thought it could be done.
You're replacing me?
Maybe not replacing you, but maybe, like, bringing someone else on as well. Because I think our goal here is to convince more people. And we've already kind of convinced, we got you. Like, you're in. You're hooked. You know.
I can get right back out, Adam. Don't you worry.
Oh, no. Yeah, you mentioned
just make her watch Mamma Mia again.
And I'll hit play on Mamma Mia 2, okay?
Here we go again. Wait, I low-key liked Mamma Mia 2. I not low-key do not like
Mamma Mia 2. I high key do not care for Mamma Mia 2.
Okay, the ending gets really stupid, but Waterloo. The Waterloo sequence was so good, Ton. That may have been the only, like, really good sequence, but it was a really good sequence. Okay, Lindy, you mentioned some fantastic songs. I think you were talking about World Burn with the kind of hallway Regina song near the end. I think that's my favorite song of the whole thing. There's so many other good ones. I don't want to take them all. Todd, what stood out for you music-wise?
So Lindy mentioned, like, one of my favorite songs of the whole show, which is Revenge Party. I love Revenge Party. It just, like, took me but complete surprise the first time about how, like, it's this peppy song with, like, very dark lyrics about someone's head on a spike and entrails all over the lawn and someone's gonna be ugly crying. You know, I think it's, like, a really good song. The first time I saw it in the theater, I was a little let down by the way it was done in the film, but on the rewatch, it worked for me a lot more. Another song that I enjoy the way that they did it in the film, that's one thing I will give the film, I really like a lot of how the songs are staged and the choreography. Yeah. I think they do some really fun and interesting things with that. But the someone gets hurt.
Yeah.
Where they're at the party and, like, the lights go out and everyone's just, like, standing still until Regina pushes someone, they all start shaking in unison. It's, like, it's really creepy.
Oh, that was cool though.
Yeah, but so cool. It's, like, creepy and cool. You know, I love creepy anyway, but the way that that was done. And so someone gets hurt. It's a good song. It's not one that I would call one of my favorites off the soundtrack. It's a good song, but not one of my favorites. But in the film, just the way it was staged, the way it's done, like, really elevated it for me. So those are two. And of course, Sexy is, like, one of my favorites. I think those are the big ones for me. Definitely Revenge Party, Someone Gets Hurt, Sexy. Those are some of my favorites in it.
Yeah, Someone Gets Hurt is fantastic. I think the way that all, and this, again, might just be because Renee Rapp is outstanding, but I think that, like, all of her songs and sort of the way that they're able to use, like, the setting and the lights and everyone else around them to just emphasize the, like, vibe of Regina, right, I think is so big. The beginning, you know, My Name is Regina George, Meet the Plastics is, I think, like, the technical name of what it's called.
Yeah, which... I just had to say, in the original version, they're each one of the plastics gets their own little thing.
Like yeah, they have, I just like, need Regina. Things. I don't need the other two, though. You know,
I did kind of miss the other two a little bit. Even though Regina's is definitely the best of the three, I did kind of miss like getting the insight into their minds a little bit in there.
My name is Gretchen Wiener.
No, it's like completely different songs. My name is Karen. My hair is shiny. As Karen's kind of like very
Oh my god.
My name is Karen. I may not be small.
I think I'm okay with just the Regina one. I don't know. I will certainly go listen to it. The other one that has not been mentioned yet, Apex Predator, I think is so fun.
I was leaving that one for you.
I've been jamming to it. The Apex Predator. It's just so good. And the way that it's able to like showcase both Damien and Janice's voice together, whenever you're doing like combined like stacked melodies, we're like just in multiple different octaves, but we're like hitting quick notes in succession there. I'm a huge fan of that kind of thing. Like, it's not all about the harmony. Sometimes it's just about unison in different octaves to create the like hollowness in between of that Apex Predator. Like, it's just, it's big. It's the way that they're able to like use the music is really, really impressive. And it's groovy. It's just like it gets in your bones.
Yeah, it's a really good song. I'll say it's one of the songs that whenever they were doing like the music was first out and you would like see them on like the Today Show or things like that, that is one of the numbers that they would do. That's like the numbers to perform for people to give them idea what the show is like. I got to listen to Apex Predator a few different times from things like that. So that's like one of the first songs from the show that I knew. That's really catchy, really well done. Yeah, and this, again, like Janice's voice in that is great, which reminds me, I also really like I'd Rather Be Me, like the song that Janice sings towards the end, raising her right finger at everybody. I think that's like a really good song. I think the thing with Mean Girls, I'm never going to list it as one of my favorite musicals. You know, I've seen the stage production. I've listened to the soundtrack to it like tons of times. I think it's good, not great, but I think it's like, it's fun. And if I'm in the mood for like some fun songs, I put on Mean Girls. You know, it's not going to be like something that I tell people to run out and watch or run out and listen to necessarily, but it's just fun. If I want to listen to like a fun musical, I put in Mean Girls.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like spot on. I was going to mention I'd Rather Be Me as sort of the other one, just because I think it's a fantastic ending as well. But I like what you're saying, Todd. I agree that it's fun. I wonder if this was like widely available, you know, a year ago, right? Let's say this had come out a year ago when we were pitching movies to Lindy, when we were pitching musicals to Lindy to watch. I think that Mean Girls would have made the list. Like, I really do. I think that it like sort of fits for you, you know, Lindy, in terms of just like the story, the funness, the sort of, you know, light of, you know, some of this. But like the one area to me, and this sort of applied to the movie as well, way back when, that I've seen a lot of times, like it's fun and enjoyable, but like in terms of a compelling story, I don't know, comparatively to other musicals that I really enjoy and find like deeply complex and emotional, I don't know that this is hitting the same way. And it doesn't have to. Like, it's not supposed to. It's not really trying to, but also it's not. So like, you know, it's one of those, like, it is fun, it's like enjoyable, it's good to watch. I think the music is probably the best part of this show. I don't know that I say that every time. Like, I think that the story of a lot of other musicals is really outstanding and could be told without the music. I don't know. I think the music was my favorite part of watching Mean Girls. Obviously, we've seen Mean Girls without the music. That's just the 2004 movie. Although, you know, obviously lots of differences that we've talked about. But I think the music was the best part of this. But Lindy, I still would recommend this to you as a Lindy-type musical.
Yeah, I was going to say, I totally agree with you. If this had been out and you were both recommending musicals to me, I think this would have had a great spot on the list as one of my considerations, and I would have wanted to see it. So this definitely is my kind of musical. So I'm glad that we watched it. It's a little hard for me to like totally judge it because I've seen the movie a bunch of times, so it wasn't like this totally new story that I'm going into. I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, I knew what was going to happen at every single moment. I mean, obviously the like little choices and the music and the styling of everything I didn't know, but I knew the whole plot and a lot of the little things were the same. So it's a little hard for me to say like, oh, is this amazing? Or is it, or like, what's the best part? I don't know, but I agree with you about the story a little bit because parts of it, I was like, I hope this goes a different way than the movie went, but I know it's not going to. I don't want Katie to do these things, but I know she's going to. So that was a little frustrating, but I think it was just a weird experience to watch a musical movie based on a movie that I've seen. I don't think I've ever done that before. So it was interesting.
I don't know that I can think of a lot of examples where you've seen the movie to something and then they've subsequently made a musical about it and you haven't seen the musical about it. So I don't know. Maybe we should think of more examples of that. I don't know. There might be some more out there.
I think the thing that having had seen the movie before is like the big, big stumbling block there.
Yeah. I guess like the closest I could get is Wicked. And that's not really, that's not even it. Not even really what it is. Okay. Anything else on Mean Girls, whether it be the cast, the music, the history, anything else from either of you about Mean Girls, the movie musical?
Yeah. A couple things. First of all, I just want to say Katie's last song, I See Stars, it's never worked for me. It's like, it feels like such a weak ending to the film for me. I wish that they had replaced that one. I wish that they'd come up with something different. I don't know if that's a hot take. I have no idea. But just like compared to a lot of the other stuff, it just has always just felt kind of meh to me. And I wish that they found a different way to do that. But one thing that I really like, and it only happens like a couple of times in this, but a couple like kind of meta jokes. And there's one point whenever Katie and Janice and Damien are sitting under a tree and they're talking, and there's this like music underscoring when they're talking, and Katie suddenly just like, whoa, 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 hey guys, shut up. And it pans up and the band is sitting in the tree above mm-hmm. them playing, and they stop playing. I thought that was kind of like this bizarre, unexpected gag that I really liked. And then during the trust falls, where one of the band members is like, hey, I'm sorry I said you were dragging during Revenge Party, but there's just so much pressure on us to move the story forward through montage. It's just like, again, this like fourth wall breaking moment that I was not expecting, and it really cracked me up. So I did appreciate those times. So, for example, the singing iCarly in French, that was not a thing that was anywhere before this film. Like, it was not in the stage version, you know, so it's one of those things that's just, there they would try and deviate a little bit and have, throw some new jokes in or some kind of weird stuff in occasionally. I really appreciate them throwing in something new. And so I was happy whenever those things happened.
Yeah, I agree with what Todd said. And a couple things I wanted to say is, okay, I don't think I missed this. And I don't think they did this. They didn't do the line of like, raise your hand if you've ever been personally victimized by Regina George.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed. I was waiting for that.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad they took that out. I can kind of see what, I guess there's like a kinder, gentler, you know, there's, why would the teacher like call out Regina in this moment whenever she's trying to get everyone to admit that they've all done something? So I can see why they cut it out. But yeah, it's just such, again, one of those kind of iconic moments from the original. One of the few, I think, iconic moments of the original that don't get referenced in this in some way, or put the song in some way, like the Glen Coco or the October 3rd, you know, they have like a couple of those things. I feel like it's one of the few like really iconic things from the original that didn't make it into this.
Yeah, so that's why it stood out to me, of like almost everything else big is in here, but that was missing. So I just wanted to point that out. One thing that I did like was a little Easter egg when Karen is doing the Halloween song. She's like holding up different costumes, and one of them is like Regina's outfit from when they cut the holes out of her shirt. And then ends up wearing that anyway. Like, that's one of Karen's Halloween costume options.
That's cool. Yeah.
So go back and watch that if you missed it.
There's a lot going on in that sequence.
For sure.
Like 20 million screens up. They really, and it's this way in like the stage play too. They really lean into the social media of it all, which is not really a huge thing when this came out in 2004. And but they really, like, the stage play does lean into, like, the text messages and videos and things like that when the film, like, continues that trend.
Yeah. So overall, I had a fun time watching this. I enjoyed it. I can understand how people would have, you know, nitpick about it and maybe, you know, have certain complaints about it. I totally get that. But overall, I think this was a fun watch and I'd recommend it if you're a fan of the movie. If you have listened to this and you haven't seen the musical movie, I recommend checking it out. And I want to shout out my friend Maddie, who told me that, you know, she thought this would be a good movie for us to cover a while back before I even thought about seeing it. So if she's listening, shout out to Maddie.
Oh my gosh. Shout out to Maddie. If you're listening.
Maddie.
Wow. Great to have you listening here to this podcast, Maddie. I think it was a really good suggestion for us. I'm glad that we did it. Not only the connection to all of these other people that we are also talking about in all kinds of other shows. I thought the cast was great. I thought the music was even better. The story has sort of always been where I thought the weakest part of this, you know, production was, whether it be the movie or, you know, this iteration of the musical. So, but the songs were so good. I mean, Apex Predator is going to be stuck in my head for a good long while here. But that's Mean Girls, the movie musical. That's what we have for you. One final thing. Overall, would you ever watch this again, Todd?
Maybe not. This is already my second time watching it. I enjoyed it. You know, I think it's good, but it's not one that I'm probably going to seek out to watch again. I prefer the stage version to this. So it's good. I'm glad I watched it. I didn't mind watching it again, but if I do watch it again, it'll probably be a long time from now.
Okay. Lindy, I don't have to ask you that question because you and I are not watching the movie again, but I will ask you, did you enjoy watching it the first time?
Well, I already just said that in the last thing I said.
I know, but I couldn't. We have to change the question a little bit, you know, because we're not watching this again. Let's be honest with ourselves here.
Okay,
right?
let me answer that question. Answer sure. Todd's question anyway, which is that I probably wouldn't watch this again, as you said, because we just don't do that kind of thing. However, I would listen to the some of the songs on their own. I would consider doing that. And I would rewatch the original Mean Girls because that's a movie that I do rewatch. So
you're more likely to rewatch the original Mean Girls than this iteration of Mean Girls.
I think I would be. Yeah.
Okay. I think I agree. I don't know if I agree with that, actually. And it's not that I don't like the original Mean Girls. I'm just, the only way that I would ever watch this again is if there is some kind of social gathering. Like, I'm imagining another thing that Todd and I are probably both driving across the country to, and it's like, oh, we're going to watch a thing. I could easily see this as like a thing that, oh, two people haven't seen it in the room. Let's watch it. It wouldn't be my first choice or suggestion, but I could see it sort of coming up in the thing. And I don't think I would say no. If this were like, if someone like hadn't seen this and wanted to watch it, I would be willing to be in the room as they watched it for the first time.
I mean, I sat through Mamma Mia and the second Mamma Mia in this situation. I'm not saying no.
That was like my third time seeing the second Mamma Mia. The first time I saw it in theaters, Todd. I saw Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again, in theaters. That was the summer I was working at a camp, though. We were just desperate to get inside air conditioning and not be outside in the woods. Okay, that's Mean Girls, the movie musical. I'm glad that we watched it and talked about it, all these songs. Really, really some great bops in here. Okay, that's going to do it here for us today in Wonder Scrabble Podcast. First thing I'll say before we get to any sort of plugs going forward, stay tuned. Stay tuned for an announcement coming very shortly in just a couple days. Just stay tuned, okay? Big things are happening. Stay tuned. You know what they should stay?
Lindy? Tuned.
Tuned! They stay tuned. Tune in, if you will, to some upcoming announcements. We have some big things in the hopper here. And they're not just counting bars, that's for sure. Okay, Todd, what are you doing these days? Where can people find you? Anything you got going on?
You can find me on most social media platforms at Librarian Todd, because Todd Librarian was too many characters. I also was recently on Shit Nice, just talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and that was lots of fun.
Amazing. Lindy, what about you?
Yeah, our podcast Twitter at 1CXG Podcast. Really excited for our upcoming coverage of Girls 5 Eva Season 3, which is coming out really soon. Actually, I think by the time this podcast is out, it's already out. So very excited for that and previous Little Liars. So check out everything we got going on here.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I'm Adam Ace. You can find me on Twitter at PanamanAdam1. There's a couple other things wrapping up on post-show recaps. We did a Whoa kind of final pod over there. We also did a little table read for an episode of Doctor Who. It was interesting, just a couple minutes in it. So go check that out as well. But of course, we will be back here next week to talk through Season 3, Episode 1, releasing on the 14th of March. It's already released. Season 3, Episode 1 of Girls 5 Eva next time. And until then!
When they cover a show, watch each episode twice, but don't heed their advice. No, please don't do that. They have lively debates at the height of their powers. They can go on for hours with their constant chat. Musicals, their territory. Cover them without a strain. Rate the songs, dissect the story. Top-notch host, opinions collide. Come and take a ride with the Apex Buckuses. You'll have tons of fun when the shows arrive. Friend, it's no surprise that they're the Apex Buckuses. You should brace to be.